Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth. The subject of this recording is false information and communism in public school textbooks that are produced by the federal government. The gravest danger to the American people today is the usurpation or forcible seizure of power without right by the United States government in the field of public education. And the most perilous phase of this entire program is the wholesale production of school textbooks by the federal government to educate, or rather miseducate, American children. Every mother and father, and unknowingly every child in this country, stands face to face today with a planned conspiracy to downgrade all pride in American nationalism, distort truth in American history and accomplishment, belittle Christianity upon which America grew to greatness, and destroy the morals and purity of mind and body in our children, which rest solely upon the strong foundation of Christian civilization. We cite in this recording many examples of how all these things are done through totally inaccurate and communist-produced federal government textbooks from which your children gain false knowledge in school. This is all highly documented in a folio of exposure and condemnation of textbooks declared unfit for study in the public schools by the Alabama Society Daughters of the American Revolution. How long does it take to make a communist of your child? Every communist knows, and the communists in our federal government know, it requires not even 12 grades through high school to destroy every tradition of this constitutional republic and turn your own children into believers in a one-world government, in a one-world welfare state, if they can only educate them with communist-prepared textbooks with the help of proper teachers. This government textbook situation is a million times more deadly, since we now know that the whole federal education program has fallen into the hands of non-Christian and communist bureaucrats within our government. These bureaucrats have sworn to turn America into a one-world government welfare state, either by conquest or consent. White Christian parents, this is your last call for dinner. It is your last chance to save your children from being undereducated and miseducated as communists. It is also your last chance to conduct a personal fight at the local level against your local school boards, school principals, and school teachers in your own schools, in your own hometown. The Constitution of the United States specifically forbids the federal government from sticking its nose into public education, reserving those rights to the states and to the people under both Articles 9 and 10 of the Bill of Rights. This whole federal socialist takeover of the schools began with the federal lunch program. The price your children now pay for allowing the federal government to pick up the check or any part of it for that lunch is slavery to that government in their education. These textbooks are mostly being written, prepared with charts and drawings, and promoted through all boards of education by use of the tax-exempt billions of Jewish World Banker foundations, of which Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie are the largest. They work jointly and in cahoots with the Jews, who have gained absolute financial, economic, and political control of another organization, the United States government. In particular, the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? It is crazy. It's also the truth. Let us explain it to you. Thanks to some wonderful people in Texas, we recently exposed three so-called biology textbooks for the 10th, 11th, and 12th grades of high school, covering children from 14 to 18 years old. As long as they last, we give you the two full-page advertisements we ran describing these books. They are lascivious pornographic material which provides sex stimulus for young teenage children. They contain elaborate drawings of both the male and female sex organs with lines going to every name part and so labeled on the pages. They also contain seven pictures of an unborn baby in various stages of development, the last showing actual birth of the infant. Never before have we seen such pictures except in books for advanced medical students. They do not belong in textbooks for 14 to 18-year-old children to be carried daily to and from school. for they are an open invitation to children to discuss these matters after school. Must we point out to you how much greater is the danger in integrated schools? These three biology books prove the absolute tie-up between Wall Street Jewish bankers, including the Rockefellers, and the United States government. They were produced by the National Science Foundation, an agency of the U.S. government established by an act of Congress in 1950. The 1965 World Almanac on page 546 lists this National Science Foundation as having received in 1961 alone $176 million for improving teachers and the content of courses to be studied. By the way, that is your tax money. Now listen to this for a direct connection with the world bankers. The head of the science board of this National Science Foundation is one Detlev Wolf Bronk, B-R-O-N-K. This Bronk is also president of Rockefeller Institute in New York City and lives there on the campus in a shack called the President's Mansion. Mr. Bronk is also on the board of directors of the $700 million Rockefeller Foundation, along with Ford and Carnegie, which finances all of our collegiate communism. To further cement the connection between the National Science Foundation of the U.S. government and the Rockefeller bankers, this Bronk is also on the board of directors of that other low-test SO foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. There he sits with the five Rockefeller brothers of questionable Americanism, Lawrence, David, Winthrop, John D. III, and Governor Nelson of New York, along with a couple of Rockefeller women. This Rockefeller Brothers Fund, if you remember, wrote both the Republican and Democratic platforms in 1960, which carried Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson into power. But we haven't finished yet. This Detlev Wolf Bronk is also a big wheel in the banker-owned and subversive-declared Council on Foreign Relations. He's a member of its highly secret inner advisory group called the Business Council, which launched the smear on Senator Joe McCarthy. And finally, he is a member of the international den of banker thieves called the Bilderberger Group, the world's richest cell of known subversives who travel under assumed names on uncharted planes and who register for their annual meeting under assumed names just like gangsters, which they are. Why, do you ask, should the Rockefellers and Fords go to all the trouble of destroying the United States, which made them rich? Why, simply because the other Wall Street Jewish bankers, who are one and the same with them, now want control of the entire trade of the world. A world dictatorship of power ruled completely by these moneylenders and pawnbrokers and their stooges. They already own the United Nations. Only the United States stands in their way, and it too must fall. A spokesman for this National Science Foundation declared in an article published in the Philadelphia Inquirer of February 9, 1965, that one half the biology books purchased last year were of this federally sponsored variety. And now the U.S. Office of Education has started producing textbooks for the public schools in the social studies. There's where communism comes to the front. They are nearly all written by Jews and members of communist fronts. Why, didn't Khrushchev say that we'll give America so many doses of socialism that they shall awaken to find that they have communism? After exposing the so-called biology books, which are books on evolution and not biology, we were asked to consult that splendid patriotic organization, the Daughters of the American Revolution. The Alabama Society of the DAR has exposed and condemned no less than 34 textbooks as unfit for study in the public schools. By all means, get their large folio of all these exposures. Address the Alabama Society of the DAR, Route 2, Box 535, Montgomery, Alabama, and enclose a dollar for each copy that you want, and give them a contribution to help in this wonderful work. Here is a sample of a book exposed by the DAR called Widening Horizons for Children in the Sixth Grade of School. The youthful heroine in this book struggles to overcome all of life's hardships. And who do you think she turns out to be in later life? One Mary McLeod Bethune, a member of exactly 71 communist and pro-communist organizations. Sixth grade children are told to emulate this evil woman. Federal security agencies and federal investigation agencies have found her to be either an officer, board member, sponsor, or supporter of such outfits as the American Committee for Protection of the Foreign Born, a communist front organization that was ordered to register as such with the Attorney General. But the base character, the former Attorney General Robert Kennedy, forgot to carry out the orders of the Supreme Court. This great heroine after whom your children are advised to pattern their lives was also a ringleader in the American Youth for Democracy. A special committee of un-American activities found this to be a new name under which the Young Communist League was operating. She also belonged to the Civil Rights Congress, now merged with the International Labor Defense, and the National Negro Congress, two of Walter Reuther's pet outfits. And so it goes through the whole 71 connections of this Mary McLeod Bethune. I'm sure you'll want your little girl to be just like her and to betray America just like her. The DAR next exposes a choice little gem called Good Times Through Literature. Nearly every author whose writings are used in this book or recommended by it belong to from 2 to 38 communist front organizations. We go farther and tell you that they are largely downright practicing communists. Archibald MacLeish, a member of the NAACP, Arthur Schlesinger, Shirley Graham, Carl Sandburg, Stephen Vincent Benet, Arthur Miller, the Jew husband of the late Marilyn Monroe, John Gunther, and Babette Deutsch, the mother of that hook-nosed Jew Adam Yarmolinsky, no less. Next, we comment on one of the juicier bits of concentration on sex rather than academic learning. It is a flagrant invasion of the sensitive, delicate relations that should exist between boys and girls in the formative years. This filth in this book is called Personal Adjustment, Marriage, and Family Living by Judson and Mary Landis for 11th graders. If you want your child to join a Martin Luther King in one of his sex marches, we highly recommend this book to you. Otherwise, it belongs with the rest of the kitchen garbage. On page 351, we find the following quote. We may as well get used to the fact that there always have been and always will be children born out of wedlock. Two, all children must be legitimized and given the same status. Three, the father's name must be eliminated from birth certificates. Four, the state must take care of unwed mothers. Five, children born to unwed mothers are the responsibility of the state. And so the state must provide for these children, unquote. What the devil kind of study is that for the public schools? It means, white man, that over 90% of all these pregnancies without marriage occur among Negroes. These are federal government figures, not ours. So, you just put these promiscuous black brats born on the wrong side of the blanket on your relief rolls and dig up at least $25 per month for each one of them, pay the hospital bills, and nothing further will be expected of you. Accepting later marriage with your children. Get a load of this question on the next page, 352. If a marriage is sterile, who is at fault? No child in the public school is the product of a sterile marriage. What do they expect a child to answer to that question? And page 302 of this same book tells 16-year-old students in mixed classes how to relax a mother's muscles in giving birth to a child. My friends, the school principal or any teacher, male or female, who dares to put that book in your school deserves to be horsewhipped publicly and run out of town. And a nice dose of tar and feathers will be equally effective. Here is another vile book exposed by the DAR called Man's Achievement Through the Ages. written by a couple of Jews extolling the virtues of the United Nations. The arch traitor and spy Alger Hiss, who served time in jail as a perjurer for refusing to name his communist connections, is praised to the skies as the chief architect of the communist UN charter. U.S. intelligence officials and the leaders of Congress have branded the UN headquarters in New York as an espionage base for enemies of the United States unequaled in our history. Does this book mention that fact? It does not. Nor does it mention the fact that the UN itself has distributed millions of maps showing communist China as a member of the UN. In Midland, Texas, high school boys and girls, great kids too, staged a parade and carried placards asking that nuclear testing be resumed, where do you think? Under the United Nations building. Amen and bravo. Check up on this next phony 11th grade textbook in your schools if you don't believe your kids are being taught absolute lies. This book is called The Making of Modern America by Canfield Wilder and published by Houghton Mifflin Company, who also published one of the filthy biology books. Turn to page 708 and read the headline, The United Nations Takes the Initiative. The first sentence is, quote, after the summer of 1942, the initiative in the war, Pacific Theater, gradually shifted to the side of the United Nations. Well, blow me down. 1942 was 3 years before there ever was a United Nations. And on the next page, 709, the non-existent UN is credited with winning control of the Mediterranean and shifting Italy to the side of the United Nations. Think of it. 3 years before Alger Hiss and his band of traitors, including Adlai Stevenson, Dean Rusk, who later betrayed Korea to communism, and the avowed communist Black Rolf Bunch had ever assembled to betray the world to control of communist Jew bankers. A deliberate distortion of American history to be taught your children and to further promote socialist communism. Still another DAR exposed textbook, Magruder's American Government, on page 714, comes up with this little quickie, a quickie bit of propaganda. Quote, many people favor the creation of a world government as the only real and permanent solution to the problem of lasting peace. Unquote. We can only say that the term many people means the Council on Foreign Relations members and the world government socialists, like that sheeny pawnbroker banker James Warburg, who first came up with that line before the U.S. Senate. And of course, no senator had guts enough to kick his teeth in. Any state superintendent of education who approves this book should be impeached from office and jailed as a traitor. In Alabama, where it's already happened, the paid-off traitors in the legislature didn't impeach and try him. They raised his salary from $10,000 to $22,500 a year. And now we give you the pièce de résistance, the main dish of this meal, to prove that this entire miseducation program of government-produced textbooks is a deliberate communist conspiracy to wreck our country, our youth, our government, and our Constitution. On September the 25th, 1964, the Alabama Society DAR exposed 9 so-called American history books, all printed by different publishers in different years from 1957 to 1964, deliberately falsifying and omitting a part of the Constitution of the United States. All 9 of these history books deceive our children, stressing and pointing out to them that there are only 9 and not 10 articles in the Bill of Rights. Think of it. They all leave out the same one, Article 2 of the Bill of Rights. And what is that? Why, the right of the people to keep and bear arms. If this were not a planned conspiracy to disarm American citizens, then why is it that 3 of these 9 books by different publishers in different years use identical picture diagrams? Need we tell you that the last act before takeover of every nation now under the heel of communism has been to disarm the people? If you know nothing more about communism than this one fact, it should prove to you what is planned by these communist Jews to conquer America. Once you're disarmed by your own government, blood is going to flow in the streets, all right. It'll flow from a bullet hole in the back of your head. Need we tell you that Lyndon Johnson has already had the impudence to ask Congress to give the president full control of all arms and ammunition in interstate commerce? That, my friends, is an act which Congress has no power or authority to grant, and both Lyndon Johnson and Congress know that fact. It is an act which can only be granted by the American people under constitutional amendment and ratified by 3/4 of the states. If a traitor Congress dares to pass such an act, then every true American is justified in taking supreme and extreme measures to defend the Constitution. Every citizen is justified in using any and every means to rid this country of such arch traitors in Congress, in state legislatures, or anywhere else. It is your solemn duty to do so. Listen to the magnificent words of Article 2 of the Bill of Rights, omitted by these phony American history books and ignored by the President of the United States. Quote, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Unquote. When you allow this disarming, then be prepared to help pile your loved ones into the truck marked Jewish Siberia. We can only repeat our words in the recording we made on guns to protect your homes against Negro riots, namely, that if any police agency, civil defense agency, or military agency demands the registration or surrender of your guns, give them a part of your guns. Give them the business end. Now turn this record over and hear the rest of the story, plus our suggestions for the immediate rescue of your children from enslavement by your own public schools. Ladies and gentlemen, this is part 2 of the recording on false and fraudulent textbooks in the public schools, now largely produced by the U.S. government in conjunction with international socialist bankers. Have you noticed how deliberate omission of Article 2 of the Bill of Rights in 9 history books, the right of the people to keep and bear arms at home, is followed by a nationwide campaign in newspapers and magazines to restrict the sale of firearms? Have you noticed how this in turn is followed by proposed legislation to take away guns and ammunition from the people? Disarming the citizens is an old communist trick at takeover time in every country. There are over 41 bills before Congress right now to take away your guns or force you to register your guns. The most infamous is the bill introduced by that Jew puppet, Senator Dodd of Connecticut. This traitor publicly admits membership in the United World Federalists and presidency of its Connecticut branch. The announced objective of World Federalists is the rapid transformation of the United Nations into an all-powerful world government and the establishment of a world police force to mow you down if you resist. Membership is open to all nations, with no right of withdrawal once you're in. World law will be directly enforceable against individuals, and the world government will have direct taxing power independent of national taxation. No wonder this arch scoundrel Thomas Dodd of Connecticut wants to take away your guns. He not only wants to destroy the Constitution he's under oath to defend, he would void the Declaration of Independence and make the United States a slave member of this world government. Ye gods and the people of Connecticut elected this vermin to the Senate. If they have an ounce of patriotism left, if the 5 Connecticut-born patriots who signed the Declaration of Independence, including Roger Sherman and William Williams, mean anything to this great state, they will immediately recall and impeach this traitor, Senator Dodd, from office. Better still, with all of the Connecticut industrial growth, does anyone mean to tell us that no manufacturer there makes hang rope? Why, compared to this Senator Dodd, Benedict Arnold was a most loyal American. Posing as a Christian, he is tied up with the scurviest bunch of anti-Christians in this World Federalist crowd it's possible to imagine. Norman Cousins and James Warburg, its organizers. Harold Ginsburg, Isidore Lubin, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Harry Sherman, the late Walter Wanger, and Cass Canfield of Harvard and the sex-filth publishing house of Bantam Books. 10 times 41 bills to disarm American citizens at home are ready for state legislatures, city councils, and mayors of large cities. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where this nation was born, has illegally passed gun and ammunition restrictions that are a disgrace to a nation of free men and women, and to the memory of those farmers who took their flintlocks and smoothbore rifles to defend America under the command of glorious George Washington. But Philadelphia today is different than Philadelphia of 1776. It is now a cesspool of filth, a Congo Jewish jungle. Does anyone question that these same people are out to downgrade and destroy Christianity? We suggest you take a look at the textbook World Ways by Todd Cooper, exposed by the DAR in October of 1962. It is a social science book for seventh graders, 12-year-olds. On page 97, we read, quote, "The ideas of Jesus traveled far in those years," unquote. Jesus of Bethlehem, our Christian Lord and Savior, didn't go around expounding ideas like any other mortal. Reference to his commands as ideas is repugnant to every Christian. He spoke while on earth as Almighty God, just as he speaks in our churches today, in spite of the National Council of Churches, that is. This book glosses over Christianity in a few paragraphs and devotes 5 times as many pages to Mohammed. On page 153, we quote, "Some of Mohammed's teachings were much like those of Jews and Christians," unquote. The teachings of Christ and the teachings of Jews are as far apart as the North and South Pole. Christ hated the evil in those Pharisees, and he told them so in mighty plain language. That is why they hate him now and crucify him daily, just as Jews did over 1,900 years ago. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what are you going to do about this textbook situation? You can do absolutely nothing, which is exactly what you have done up until now. You can continue to sit in front of your TV, commonly known as the boob tube, and swallow the propaganda dished out to you over these 3 TV networks owned by 3 Wall Street banker representatives, all Jews. Sarnoff of NBC, Polinsky of CBS, and Goldenson of ABC. You can have your children watch thrilling sex, murder, and the use of narcotics, while the communist Jew destroys Christianity in the minds of your children and corrupts their morals and educates them into love of world government with these lying textbooks. You can obligate yourselves for further time payments to these loan sharks and walk around in fear of losing your jobs if you resist. Or you can do as Jesus did, grab a knotted whip and drive them and the federal government textbooks out of the temples of your children, the public schools. But wait a minute. Do you think you can solve the problem by writing to your congressman? Save your postage. That miserable coward and traitor is in the pay of the very international socialists whose designs you would frustrate. Witness the completely unconstitutional civil rights bill. It was introduced by Jake Javits and Manny the Mocky Sellers of New York into Congress and steered through by that Episcopalian Jew, Barry Morris Goldwater. Do you think you can overcome this educational destruction of your children by appealing to the state legislature? Nearly every state legislature is a member of the Council of State Governments. The mail-order law factory at the University of Chicago, which furnishes the new and very socialistic laws that you would eradicate. It is financed by the same tax-exempt banker foundations, Rockefeller and Ford, which produce the crooked textbooks. And the U.S. government uses your tax money to complete the job. Can your state governor help you? There isn't one governor in the United States with honesty enough or guts enough to defend the Constitution. Every one of them is too busy accepting federal bribery in education to stay in office. in return for signed blackmail compliance agreements calling for complete mongrelization of the white race with Negroes in our public schools. The Jew has no worries about mongrelization. He's a mongrel with every race on earth right now. No, my friends, this is your own personal fight. The battleground is not Washington or your state capital. It is your own hometown, your own school board, your own school principal, and your child's teachers. If you don't win this fight, your child will be destroyed, your country destroyed, your government destroyed, and the Constitution of the United States will rot on your local rubbish heap. One man who is a member of a school board came along with his wife to inspect the biology books we had on display. He wasn't a big shot business executive, he was a farmer. He said to us, "Wally, this book will never come into my public school if I have to swing my fists at the school board meeting. I don't care if the state superintendent of education or Governor George Wallace or anybody else has approved or accepted that book. When it comes into my school, I start swinging." Now, that might be the solution for some of you. We don't know. But you've got to make up your minds right now to go to the principal and every teacher and tell them in plain words as follows. If you dare to teach my child from that book, I will haul you into court and hound you out of town as an immoral, indecent person, totally unworthy to teach my child or any other child in this community. A group of us mothers and fathers have banded together and we'll spend every dime necessary to rid this town of those textbooks and of you. Our children are going to be taken out of this school until both you and your rotten textbooks leave, and we'll see who comes back first. Then go to work with every ounce of your combined power on that county judge in your county court. Call on him as a delegation and show him the books and tell him exactly what you want done. And don't you good people be afraid of that bird for one minute. We repeat. You win this battle at the local level in your own hometown. Let us then see if the federal government can force your child to study from those textbooks. Don't go about it in any other way. If you do, it's a complete waste of time. This reporter spent better than 3 full months with the Alabama legislature working day and night to blast these books out of Alabama schools, and also to get the legislatures to repeal the infamous civil rights law and declare it unconstitutional in the state of Alabama. We got exactly nowhere. The one man who owns that legislature through his Jewish masters and who has been built up as a great constitutional conservative, which he is not, and who poses as a segregationist, which he is not, is Governor George Wallace. He personally caused both bills to be defeated in the Senate. George Wallace controls every dollar of patronage and state spending in every district. Even those who pose as independents have to knuckle under or their counties will not get a dime. This man Wallace was ordered and paid to stop all third-party movement in the 1964 elections. He did a beautiful betrayal job on the American people. In the northern states where he entered the primaries, he polled over 30% of the vote in Indiana, Maryland, and Wisconsin with one or two public appearances. And then came his cowardly withdrawal, leaving every lever of constitutional government high and dry after it was too late for anybody else to do anything about it. Have you ever considered just how George Wallace carried Lake County, Indiana, which is predominantly Negro? Why, because the Jews bought it for him, knowing beforehand that he was going to withdraw from the race. We know. We personally testified for nearly an hour before the Alabama Senate and Finance Committee showing samples of these incorrect textbooks. The Senate members pretended to wax indignant and very patriotic. They passed 14-1 an amendment calling for a legislative watchdog supervisory committee whereby any textbook containing indecent communist or other material contrary to proven historical fact could be removed from the schools at any time. We were delighted. When the textbook bill came out of committee and hit the Senate floor along with our amendment, then Governor George Wallace did his dirty work. his Jewish advisors and bankers with whom he is surrounded, and we know the names of every one of them, passed down the word, kill it. And the watchdog supervisory amendment was the very first one to be defeated by a vote of 16 to 14. Some of the very Senate members who had voted for it in committee voted against it on the Senate floor. These legislators, like those of any other state, will do anything for the promise of votes to remain in power. They never had it so good. They don't bother to think twice before betraying the people they're supposed to represent or their children. That is why we tell you, don't waste your time with the legislatures. Two senators were tailed day and night by Jean Katz by name. She officially represented the Jew-controlled and 1313 Council of State Government-controlled League of Women Voters. We actually traced George Wallace's entire half-billion-dollar free textbook program to this Metro 1313 law factory. Metro for metropolitan government, and 1313 because of its street address at 1313 East 60th Street in Chicago on the very red University of Chicago campus. We also traced the expense vouchers of the committee who went out there from Alabama to get this whole package deal last December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. The League of Women Voters is a direct part of this Metro 1313 law factory and listed as such. The exact same failure occurred in trying to get the Civil Rights Bill repealed. Neither Governor George Wallace, nor his masters, nor the legislators want the Civil Rights Bill repealed. We succeeded in getting it through the State House of Representatives on two different occasions, the first time last August by a vote of 76 to nothing, and again in this last session in April by a vote of 57 to 5. That's April of 1965. This reporter had no less than six meetings with George Wallace, who not only promised faithfully to have the Senate pass the bill, but who also was eager to have 49 copies sent to every state governor and 49 copies sent to the various speakers of the House in each state. On both occasions, he lied in his teeth. Edgar Hoover, if you remember, of the FBI, called Martin Luther King the world's most colossal liar. Before he had to apologize to him, that is. Well, we can only say that Martin Luther the King has competition. George Wallace personally refused on both occasions to allow these bills to come to a vote before the Senate. He and all of his gang are waxing fat on the federal millions now pouring into Alabama political machine through public education. If this recording serves to expose the phony character of Governor George Wallace so that he can never again betray constitutional voters in this country, it will have rendered a great service. Every statement we make, we can prove. We were at the legislative sessions from start to finish, and the witnesses whose words are unimpeachable were with us. These facts will shock many people who still believe in George Wallace. But we tell you that he has done more than any other man in Alabama to integrate the schools there. And he is now doing more than any other man in Alabama to communize the children of Alabama with these communist textbooks. That is why we tell you you can never win this fight in your legislature, a fight which places your children in absolute peril. These textbooks are in your state right now. Book publishers sell their wares in every state. But what a sad circumstance it is when a Jew-dominated gang of socialists like the League of Women Voters, backed by the terrible power of the Rothschild purse, can completely nullify 3 years of hard work by such a splendid patriotic society as the Daughters of the American Revolution. The tragic thing is that these indecent and inaccurate textbooks remain in the schools, at least in Alabama. And the people there deserve exactly what they get. We beheld the very essence of refinement, breeding, and culture trampled underfoot by a gang of politicians who have embraced the creed of kosher sex filth in textbooks that this Jewish-dominated League of Women Voters evidently has in store for your children. This 1313 Metro government claims secretariatship also over the Conference of State Governors. If you remember, those governors were the ones who brought back the Russian communist mental health programs and rammed them through nearly every state legislature. Every governor who did so deserved to be hanged by the public. And so does every judge, doctor, or member of Congress who plays any part in the mental health program. Get our full recording on this subject. You must also remember that the Conference of State Governors and the Council of State Governments are both illegal and unconstitutional. Article 1, Section 10, Part 3 of the Constitution reads, quote, "No state shall, without consent of Congress, enter into an agreement or compact with any other state or with a foreign power," unquote. Is that plain English? Congress has never voted consent to any Council of State Governments or to governors' conferences. Why, this governors' conference actually toured Russia in 1959 and invited the heads of five Soviet states to visit America and attend the governors' conference of 1960. They even passed a resolution opposing congressional inquiry into Metro 1313 and its interstate compact agencies. Start cutting hang rope, you good people. Not only is this 1313 law factory supported by the millions of banker foundations, every state that is a member of it is assessed from $6,000 a year to $22,000 a year for dues. Ye gods, your elected governors and legislators are paying these traitors with your money to betray your state into communism. If you want full information on this traitor law factory, get the textbook Terrible 1313 Revisited by Joe Hindman, care of the Caxton Printers in Caldwell, Idaho. A committee of a half a dozen families is large enough to start the ball rolling in your community. Go to a good teacher and find out from the DAR folio just which of the condemned textbooks are in your schools. Ask the children themselves, and get some extra copies of this recording in circulation in your town to arouse public feeling. Then start putting on the pressure. All meeting only of those who are in agreement with your cause, for that meeting will be infiltrated by the indecent people who are a part of this conspiracy if you allow them to do so. Here is a most important move in the program. We have proven to you beyond all question that the ringleaders behind the destruction in our schools and children are the Rockefeller and Ford Foundations. Get every mother and father you enlist to drive into every Standard or Humble Esso gas and oil station and into every Ford, Lincoln, Mercury car dealer. Leave them a copy of our newspaper ads and tell them you'll not spend a dime in their place of business until they get a new brand of gas and oil and a different car agency. Why, ladies and gentlemen, the solution of this whole thing is in your hands. Big as they are, these banker-owned outfits cannot stand a dealer revolt. When Ford and Rockefeller made products the American people were eager to accept, America made them rich beyond their wildest dreams. And the American people can also drive them back into poverty. The textbook products they now make are only worthy of a furnace in which to burn them. Well, you've heard about Alabama. We now read you a letter from a friend in New York State. Let's see what Nelson Rockefeller, the chief bankroller of this textbook smut, and the New York State legislature have to say about this one. We quote, "Your problem in Alabama is as white as the whitest lily compared to what goes on in the schools of Rochester. Here they show moving pictures to sixth graders in sex education, genitals and all. So what happens if a mother objects, and there are very few who do? She is laughed to scorn by those other highly enlightened mothers. You can believe it that my informant is very close to me. My friend did as much later than either of us care to admit. A mother is shocked to hear her son say that in his school, the boys indecently expose themselves in front of a group of girls in the hallways. The mother went to both teacher and principal and received the same answer, 'We do not interfere in such things.' Bringing the same problem up in a PTA meeting, she is informed that a PTA meeting is no place to bring up such a thing. It is not only a sin to write of these things, I too am guilty, for I have failed my children and grandchildren." End of quotation. You are not guilty, dear friend. It is the voters who put those people in office who are guilty. But have those protesting mothers swear out warrants for the arrest of that principal, those teachers, and the PTA leaders involved. Where the devil are the fathers to order those skunks to get those books out of that school in one day or else? That city superintendent of education should also be hauled into court, and so should the mayor and chief of police of Rochester. They are as crooked as if they ran a bawdy house. We ask all of you to help us to help you in getting the widest possible distribution on this record. Order a half dozen or more copies for those who can and should help in your town. Have courage, you splendid men and women of the sons and daughters of the American Revolution. You haven't lost the ball game. You've only lost a couple of innings which have been played. Dig in and resolve to fight. You'll be surprised at the army of outside help that you get. This is Wally Butterworth. Goodbye, all.